stronger and stronger, I think we deserve opportunity. The same way we give it to them, I'm sure like they'll find another opportunity. Hopefully.
Well, listen, more power to you, because you're doing amazing things out there, Frankie. Whatever happens, it sounds like you're changing lives. But fingers crossed you can bring it home. Good luck. Keep up the good work. Thank you so much for being with us, Frankie. Take care. Fantastic. What about that? That's Frankie Juma there, the England coach at the Homeless World Cup. Stay with us. It's the Midnight Musicology appointment on the way.
The voice of the UK.
And the home of the Premier League.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
BBC News at midnight. This is Charlotte Simpson. Health officials in Lebanon say nearly 500 people, including 35 children, have been killed by Israeli airstrikes. A spokesman for Israel's military said more than 1,000 targets had been hit, including cruise missiles and drones. The Foreign Secretary, David Lammy, has tonight said he is deeply alarmed by the situation and repeated a call for a ceasefire. Our international editor, Jeremy Bowen, is in Jerusalem. He says further escalation could be difficult for Israel because of the conflict in Gaza.
Israel effectively is gambling. What it's hoping is that by doing what it's doing, it will coerce Hezbollah to stop firing into Israel. I think that that is probably unlikely. It means Israel will have to continue escalating, and the ultimate escalation would be moving troops and tanks into Lebanon.
Sir Keir Starmer will say there is light at the end of this tunnel as he addresses his first Labour conference as Prime Minister. He will warn of a shared struggle through short-term pressures. In his speech, he will talk about a goal of creating a Britain built to last as he signals his government will be decisive. Sarah Jones, a business and energy minister, says Labour needs to be honest with voters and agrees with the positive tone at the party conference.
Everywhere I go around the country, there are people with huge talent and that talent is being held back. And it has to be the job of a sensible Labour government in the interest of working people to say this is a long-term plan for growth, because that is the only way this country is going to grow.
Nurses in England have rejected the government's award of a 5.5% pay rise for this financial year. The Royal College of Nursing said two-thirds of the members who voted turned down the deal, with turnout at a record high. Our health editor Hugh Pym reports.
An RCN spokesperson said there was a fundamental shift in the determination of nursing staff to stand up for themselves and that members did not feel valued. The rejection of the 5.5% pay award does not automatically mean there'll be a ballot for strikes, but that's not been ruled out. The Health Secretary, Wes Streeting, said the government wanted to work with nurses to take the NHS from the worst crisis in its history and get it back on its feet. Last week, the British Medical Association announced that junior doctors had voted in favour of a 22% pay deal over 2 years.
An 8-year-old girl and a woman have been found dead at a home in Salford. Greater Manchester Police say the bodies were discovered following reports of concern for welfare at the property. And a US investment group based in Texas has agreed a deal to take a majority stake in Everton Football Club. The Friedkin Group, owned by the US tycoon Dan Friedkin, is poised to take a 94% stake in the Premier League club, subject to regulatory approval. BBC News, it's 3 minutes past midnight.
Matt Shawley.
BBC Radio 5 Live.
We are looking for a member of Matt's Parliament for New Forest East. Mick has got a claim. Hello, Mick.
In 1997, I proposed in a little hotel. I was actually in the bathroom.
What?
We were getting ready for dinner and I wanted it all to be sort of sorted before we went in and celebrated.
Lisa Nadi, such a state of culture major as well.
We're toughening up the system to make sure that people who are unfit owners can't become football club owners.
Matt Shawley.
Monday to Friday from 2
on BBC Radio 5 Live.
Hello, it's Johnny in for Gordon. Before we get into our musicologist, Dr. Bennett, I just wanted to reflect on an amnesty that somebody sent through because it was the 5 Live amnesty this hour. Hello to Ash in Sydenham. Johnny, I can relate to working for Private Eye because Gráinne pretended she worked for Private Eye before telling off Chris Marshall and then forcing him to pay for a taxi home when she was drunk, the actor Chris Marshall. Johnny, I can relate to that. A journalist friend often used to get tickets to cool events in London. as a plus one, I went along to a champagne reception for a magazine launch at the Church nightclub in King's Cross. Knowing some of the best house DJs were there on the turntables, pre-Shazam, I took my MP3 player equipped with a small lapel mic to record the tunes. I mean, technically piracy, but we'll gloss over that. While at the bar, I started talking to a stunning girl who noticed the mic and asked who I worked for. I proceeded to tell her I was here for Mixmag, but my main project was a book that I was working on, a retrospective of clubbing in the 90s. We didn't leave the bar for ages, apart from when I grabbed the official event photographer that I was chatting to earlier in the evening and got him to take some pictures, reinforcing my pretense for the real deal. We spent hours swapping stories and reminiscing about the club scene and eventually exchanged numbers. She suggested we meet for a coffee so I could interview her for my book. Of course, I continually made excuses about my availability until she finally stopped calling. There was no way I could continue my lie once sober. Can I be forgiven for this or going to hell? Well, I don't know, forgiven for not following through or forgiven for telling the lie in the first place. I think either way, Ash, it maybe came from a good place. So there we go. You are forgiven. Now, we're going to be learning about music for the next hour or so. So if you think that Ariana Grande and Charlie XCX are clothing sizes, this is the place for you. It's also a safe space for the music anorak and the harmonically curious. It's Johnny in for Gordon, and it's time to talk musicology and summon the doctor. Yes, it's Dr. Beat himself, Dr. Joe Bennett from the Berklee College of Music in Boston. He's here to explain the joys of music that we listen to, which he does by choosing a subject and giving us a great playlist of songs, old and new. Along the way, we'll hopefully discover something different. Maybe find out a little bit more about we love the music that we do as well. Last week, Dr. Bennett, it was the 12-8 time code, and today it's about every breath we take.
Yes, indeed it is, Johnny. So it's always fascinated me that it's absolutely true in law that you cannot copyright a title. So there's nothing to stop you or me going home tonight and writing a song called Imagine or Yesterday. It's not copyright infringement if you just use a title, especially a one-word title. So this is part of an occasional series. Many shows ago, I think it was sometime back in March, we looked at all the songs that happened to be called one, just the word one. And I've picked another one-word theme for this week, and that word is breathe. It's rather extraordinary, actually. When we looked at one, I think we found 10 or 11 songs of that title. But with the word breathe, we found about 35. Going across something like 50 years of pop.
Right.
So pop and rock and metal and EDM, I mean, it's a real, because it's just a simple word, some writers seem to love conjuring with it. So that's our theme tonight, Johnny. We're going to be listening to songs that all have the same title.
And I love the creative approach that you've taken to tonight's quiz as well.
Well, yeah, I was thinking that maybe we'll just pull the word breathe out of a mix and get people to see if they can identify the song. But my team of research studio wizards and me decided we want to be a bit more devious than that. So we got talking about it and we just looked for every song we could find that actually had breathing in it as part of the vocal, some kind of breath sound, breath effect from the singer. And then we snipped those out, we enhanced them a little bit in the mix, and that's going to be the quiz. We're going to play seven very short excerpts of famous songs, always big hits, with the breath enhanced, and you're just going to hear that breath and a little bit more, and you have to name the song.
Great stuff.
So shall we get into it?
Let's do this.
Let's do it. Right. So question one, this is a rock classic from 1988. It begins with a breath and then an acoustic guitar chord. And that's all you're going to get. Here's question one.
Now, I will say, because you played that earlier for us, we've had quite a lot of guesses on this one. That was got quite a lot of guesses, but interestingly, people are coalescing around maybe three different songs. Now that one song has been named, and I think you mentioned rock, I think it's maybe heavy metal hair rock metal it, hair
it's,
metal.
It's the hairier end of
the hairier it, end the, of it, rock.
Yes,
yeah.
I think it's fair to say.
Okay, now no, now
I
that
mean, 1988.
Yeah, now that somebody's now that several people have named this, now I think I recognise it. But okay, let's have that one again.
Okay, here it is, number one again.
Okay. At the end.
Just got that guitar chord.
Yeah, the hairy end of rock. Great. Number two, then. What
so,
do we got?
I will whiz through the others. So number two, you're going to get a breath again and just one note of a guitar. That's all there is. Number three, you're going to hear some breathing that's part of a mix. I've actually looped this one twice to give you a little bit longer to hear it. This is a track from 2004. And for number four, this is a more recent pop song from 2017. It's what, not one of this artist's biggest songs, but the deep fans will know it, I think. So this is number four from 2017. For number five, this one is pretty short, but it is a classic. So I think a lot of people are going to get this. This is a sort of pop rock classic, do we call it, from 1977, British band. Listen out for the ha, 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 ha breathing. Here it is. Here it is again. Imagine yourself running down the street with that one.
I've got it.
You've got it. Excellent. For number six, this is a pop quartet, shall we say, and this is from 1974. Name the song.
Ooh.
Breathing's a bit buried in the mix behind that acoustic guitar. I'll give you again. You're hearing ha, 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 like that. Here it is. Number six again from 1974. And finally, from number seven from 1982, British band. This is a lot of breathing from the breakdown section. 1982, name the song. I think the funky bass playing gives that one away.
Yeah, great.
So there you have it. Seven questions, name the song.
That is such a great quiz. I love it, Dr. Bennett. I really, really enjoyed that. Your guess is then 85058 is the number to text. That is 85058, the number to text. Let's get into the music then. And I'm going to guess here there might be a minor listener rebellion if we don't play Pink Floyd's contributions to songs called Breathe, particularly because so many people have already been texting about it. Let's take you back 51 years to The Dark Side of the Moon. This is side one, track two. Fantastic stuff. Pink Floyd and Breathe, taken, of course, from Dark Side of the Moon. Just the 45 million copies sold of that one. A quite a popular album, I think it's fair to say, Joe.
Yes, I don't think I ever would have been asked back on air if the Five Live listeners had not received their dose of Pink Floyd there, so I agree with you. It's kind of essential. And it's perhaps the most famous song of that title for that reason. It feels kind of wrong, Johnny, to play just 1 minute of Pink Floyd on the radio, but what can you do? We've only got an hour together. So much to love about this track, as I'm sure a lot of people will agree. So the breathe in the title, let's deal with the lyric first. It's a sort of a call for mindfulness, urging the protagonist to experience life and avoid being consumed by external pressures. It's kind of part social commentary, partly mental health commentary. And a lot of the lyrics on Dark Side of the Moon are like that. You can interpret them in lots of different ways of your personal, external and internal journey. But what I think is the most standout for me as a guitar player about that track is it contains my favorite guitar effects pedal of all. Yeah. That guitar is played through a phaser, which is Dave Gilmour has a pedal that he's using there called the Univibe. And I'm going to attempt to demo it here. So grab the electric guitar a second. Let's just move the microphone over here so you can hear near the amp.
Yep.
Basically, as Roger Waters said, I know, let's play E minor and A for an hour or two. That sounds all right. That'll take up 5 minutes. and of course, it is a very simple chord riff, as he said, E minor. Here it is. An A. And then sort of various.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Yeah.
So those two chords, it's immediately evocative, and that's just a super clean guitar sound with nothing more than the amp and a little bit of reverb. But if I just play that chord, the E minor and the A, and then I kick in my Univibe phaser pedal, sounds like this.
Oh.
So again, without and with. It's just a fantastic sound. Yeah. It immediately gives you that feeling of sort of 70s space rock.
I was gonna,
that album
yeah,
is so well
there's
known
a real
for.
Spacey feel to it. I always get confused between the phaser and the flanger. Is the flange slightly? It's got that sort of metallic, spacey feel to it as well, hasn't it?
Yeah, so it uses slightly different technologies. They're both based on analog but pre-digital technologies. The flanger has, I would describe it as a more sort of airy sound.
Yeah,
there's quite a lot of flanger on the first Van Halen album, for example, famously. But the phaser, it sort of whooshes around the frequencies by pushing them in and out of phase, and that's how we get that sort of swirling psychedelic effect that works so great in this kind of music. So yeah, I could probably spend the whole hour talking about guitar effects pedals, so we should probably
it's a niche
on
radio show.
I gotta say, the guitarists will understand.
Yeah, as was the case for I think a lot, particularly of bands like Pink Floyd and the sort of psychedelic sound, it kind of came from that improvised background that they come from, right? That they would just sort of get together and play and see what happened.
Yeah, and famously, a lot of the album was born in a rehearsal room that, you know, they were jamming around to see what would come out of it. And it was the 70s. It was a time of experimentation. People would listen to, you know, one whole side of an album. Jethro Tull were writing songs that were, you know, 20 minutes long, and that's with Pink Floyd. So it was a time when popular music, and particularly rock, was very much at the center of the cultural world, at least in the UK at that time. So people gave the artists a lot of creative freedom to really push song form and production. And of course, all the time you've got new technologies. I mentioned the Univibe phaser there, new technologies, new multi-track opportunities, new ways of recording that enabled bands to use the studio as kind of an extra instrument, really.
Fantastic way to start. So that was Pink Floyd and Breathe from Dark Side of the Moon from 1973. Where are we going next, Joe?
Okay, well, we're now going to go to the 90s. Again, it's a lot of very heavy production music, but I think it's fair to say that this is a little bit more aggressive. This is also called Breathe, as all our songs tonight are, and this is from 1996. It is The Prodigy.
Fantastic stuff. That is The Prodigy and Breathe. I mean, which frighteningly is nearly 30 years old, Joe. That can't be right, can it?
Incredible, isn't it? You know, part of my brain still thinks it's modern popular music, and it really isn't.
But you know, but it could be, though, couldn't it? That's the thing. In terms of the sound of it, when you think about how progressive that was, releasing that 30 years ago. And I also think I'm minded to think about as well the technology they would have been using at the time in comparison to what is available now. It's just an amazing sound. It's so full. The production is incredible. It sounds huge. And this was something nearly three decades ago.
Yeah. And I think that's partly because of their innovative use of samples. So that time, mid-90s, everyone was using hardware samplers, software samplers that we use today, that kind of everybody uses today. They weren't really really easily available. So they would have been doing that on hardware samplers. And there's some really interesting samples in there. There's a sample of Thin Lizzy, would you believe?
No.
It's a Thin Lizzy drum fill is how they made that drum beat. And they mashed it up with a track called The Real Thing by Little Richard from 1970 that also is just a drum intro. And they mashed up those two drum parts to create that beat that we hear. But I don't know, for the eagle-eared listeners who were hearing that clip that we heard about halfway through, you heard these sort of sort of sounds coming in. Well, they were actually taken from a track called A Game of Chess is Like a Sword Fight, which is actually from a movie. It's from a movie called Shaolin and Wu-Tang. So it's one of those sort of samurai sword movies of the early 80s, late 70s. And it's those sword sounds that they put into the track. So I love that when samplists take something that's completely culturally different from where they're at,
yeah,
and just it repurposes and make it into something new. Well, fantastic creative use of sampling.
I was only last night driving home at 2 o'clock in the morning listening to Wu-Tang's 36 Chambers, the album, which features obviously is full of those samples.
Right.
And that particular one is on The Mystery of Chess Boxing. So it's really interesting how samples become used and then the churn through music, you know, it becomes this almost Chinese whisper effect of where it really begins and where they took it from.
Oh, yeah, I love following those sample chains, a sample of a sample, and often people don't know what the original source is. And it's because the samplists love that sort of lo-fi sound of old vinyl. Often it can be a late 60s or early 70s track, that sort of era.
Yeah.
In fact, I've got another one example of that a little later on.
Ooh,
tonight,
nice.
So spoilers ahead.
I first got onto The Prodigy for the album before this, I think it was, Music for the Jilted Generation, production, which was just massive at the time in the mid-90s. What was it about the Prodigy? I mean, still going strong today, even, you know, in spite of the death of Keith Flint, who obviously was a massive part of the band. But what was it that seemed to capture people at the time and yet last so long?
I think it's maybe because they took the sound of the clubs and added enough vocal to make it into effectively a pop record.
Yeah.
You know, there are actually hooks in there and bits you can remember, which you can't say for a lot of, say, I think we didn't call it drum and bass back then, really, jungle, as people were calling it in the 90s. So I think that's the Prodigy formula, if there is one. They're taking the authentic sound of sort of electronic music from the clubs at the time and adding great vocal hooks to it. And I think that's partly why we love them. Plus, you know, there's amazing videos and Keith's performances. There's a lot to love there.
Yeah. Do we know what it's about, by the way?
Well, what breathe means in the context of the lyric, it's rather meta, but it's sort of to do with the intensity and the urgency of confronting fear and chaos. So the protagonist, as the music suggests, is facing these overwhelming pressures of life. So it's an exhortation to sort of calm down and go with it. That opening line, breathe the pressure. Come play my game, I'll test you. Psychosomatic, addict, insane, breathe the pressure. So it's kind of flow with it. But it's also polysonic. You know, these words just sound great spoken over those beats. So I'm not sure it's like super intellectually about literal meaning. It's more about creating a feeling.
Yeah. So from the mainstream to something more obscure, let's say, or maybe less mainstream. That's perhaps a nice way of putting it. Your next choice is a song that charted in the US back in 2005, didn't do anything in the UK. The singer Anna Nalick, I'm going to hazard a guess, would be known by 1% of people listening right now, maybe less than that. Let's have a little listen. This is Anna Nalick and Breathe.
2 a.m. and she calls me cause I'm still awake. Can you help me unravel my latest mistake? I don't love him. Winter just wasn't my season. Yeah, we walk through the door so accusing. Their eyes like they have any right at all to criticize. Hypocrites, you're all here for the very same reason. Cause you can't jump the track. We're like cars on a cable and life's like an hourglass glued to the table. No one can find the rewind button, girl. So cradle your head in your hands and breathe, just breathe. Oh.
So that is Anna Nalick, a touch of the Avril Lavigne of the vocal there, Joe.
Yeah, I think there's a similar timbre. She's singing sort of there in the middle in that rather breathy way in the middle of alto range. So I think this is just, why do I love this song? This is old school songwriting. It's just old school singer-songwriter material. It's in arguably 6/8. We had a lot of texts in of what is 6/8, what is 12/8, what is 3/8 last week. But you can sort of feel in 2/1 and 2. And so you get that sort of feeling. And it's a series of vignettes. Each verse is a separate vignette. So it opens with that line. It almost has no intro. And that line, 2 a.m. and she calls me because I'm still awake. Can you help me unravel my latest mistake? I don't love him. Winter just wasn't my season. So a friend calls her up, talks about her romantic tribulations, and we hear a bit of the conversation that they have. And then there's this wonderful pre-chorus, which when it goes to the B minor, so, and you can't jump the track, we like cars on a cable, and this lovely line, and life's like an hourglass glued to the table.
Oh, that's good, yeah.
Which is, isn't that cool? You know, just a wonderful bit of concrete noun imagery that gives you this real philosophical point. You know, we're only here once in this life, seize the day. So there's some really great lyrics in it. And there's the vignettes continue in verse 2. We have this soldier character, 21-year-old on an army base, and he's an alcoholic, and he's trying to survive and make it through. And then the narrator comes back with the philosophizing. No one can find the rewind button. And then you get the sort of meta commentary in the third vignette, which is the songwriter talking about themselves writing their song on their own in their room at 2 a.m. And when I first heard this song, I thought, you know, that sounds like one of those songs that they play at the end of, I don't know, Holby City, when the characters are all like thinking in their dark place about what's to come, and they've all got character dilemmas like they do at the end of a lot of shows. I think the Americans started it. So I looked it up, and sure enough, a bunch of directors had exactly the assumption that I made. It appeared in Grey's Anatomy and One Tree Hill, both of those US series back in 2006.
Me.
It's kind of one of those tunes, isn't it? It has that vibe to it.
Yeah. I also hear incredibly accomplished performers like that and think, what is the difference between them and other artists that make it here, for instance? And I'm guessing it's just whether a record company chooses to back them and the management has the appetite for it or whatever. But it's, you know, it's such a fine line between success and oblivion, isn't it? And it's rarely down to ability when it comes to artists making it in other countries.
Well, this is why I have a bit of a problem with all these, you know, X Factor type TV shows. They're sort of selling us this idea that the music industry would be fine if only we could find good enough singers.
Yeah, there's nobody out there doing it.
Of course, of course.
Why didn't we think of that?
Because there are brilliant singers everywhere you go. You're absolutely right, Johnny. There are so many wonderful artists in the world. And of course, as a Brit living in America, I kind of I've become a bit attuned to those Brits that don't really do much in the US, and equally those Americans that don't seem to break through in the UK. And, you know, this particular example is, reasonably well-known American artist. That track has 130 million streams. So, you know, it's not an unknown artist, Alicate, by any shout. I just think it's a great song.
Was she a one-hit wonder? I hate that phrase. But was that's her biggest track, I take it?
That's the biggest track. I mean, she's still around. New album came out. In fact, you know, you may know that a few weeks back we decided to do a blog post for the Five Live listeners every week. So if you just Google Joe Bennett Musicologist, you'll find that. And so I put Alan Nalick as my kind of cover star there for the blog, because I think she's terrific. She's got some great material that's come out since then. But yeah, it's fair to say that Breathe 2 AM is by far her best known song.
Yeah. You're listening to BBC Radio 5 Live. It's Johnny in for Gordon this evening, and we are in the midst of our Midnight Musicologist. Of course, we are joined as ever by Professor Joe Bennett. If you want to get in touch, by the way, 85058 is the number to do it. Or you can send us a little WhatsApp as well, 08085 909 693. The topic tonight is Breathe. By the way, just on Prodigy, Mike in Cardiff, I saw the Prodigy supporting Iron Maiden in Dubai. What a show. I mean,
that's a weird gig.
There's
that's
so many aspects of that, Mike, I need to ask you about. Out of two bands that I would say are probably the least likely to perform in the Middle East, let alone on the same bill, I mean, I don't
know.
What is the EDM scene and heavy rock like in the Middle East? Obviously, there's something out there. But that's fine.
I guess I can't imagine what the crowd would have looked
no.
like. You know, what attire would they have been in?
Yeah. Was that for expats or was that for people? I mean, so many questions. Mike, what was it like? 85058 to get in touch. So carrying on the theme of Breathe, but maybe stretching the theme a little bit, Joe. The next choice is Breathing, but we'll let you have it. This is the completely wonderful Kate Bush.
Outside.
Breaking your own rules with this one, Joe, but I don't care. It's fine. Do what you want when it comes to Kate Bush.
Thank you for the support. I thought, I know it's cheating. I'm very strict with my themes normally, but it's Kate Bush. I mean, just what an iconic artist and an incredible track. I've always felt that Kate Bush, along with maybe for me only the Beatles, is an artist where you can't really say they have a genre, a style.
Yeah.
There is, you know, you think of your favourite artist and you can put them in some kind of a stylistic box. They're a singer-songwriter, they're a rock band, whatever it is. But Kate Bush, how would you even describe what she does? She makes Kate Bush music, and there's nothing quite like it. So I was also pleased that that song, which is, you know, in keeping with our theme, isn't the best-known Kate Bush song by any means. You know, it's not a Hounds of Love or a Wuthering Heights or whatever. But it was a single, got to number 16 in the UK charts, and it was part of the Never Forever album. That was actually significant for another reason, that Never Forever was the first time, unbelievably, that a UK female artist had topped the album charts.
Oh,
it was
really?
As late as 1980, yeah. I was really surprised when I read that fact about it. So the breathing of the theme, it's actually sung from the point of view of a baby about to be born. So it's breathing my mother in, breathing her nicotine. And it's a song of Cold War paranoia. There was a lot of that about, you know, Ultravox's Dancing with Tears in My Eyes famously is a Cold War 4-minute warning song. And, you know, there was a lot of it about in the early 80s. We were worried about getting nuked. It was that time. I think we've just hit the anniversary of Threads, which has been a lot of talk in the media about that this week.
Yeah.
So that lyric, breathing as the baby sees a flash or perceives a flash outside the mother, the end of that first chorus, breathing, breathing the nicotine, breathing, breathing the fall out, in, out in, and this line from verse 2 that we were just getting to, there's a after the blast chips of plutonium are twinkling in every lung. So it's a really dark sentiment about, you know, nuclear war paranoia of the time, but told in this typically a bleak Kate Bush way. And you also have that the sort of, what's the onomatopoeia of the music? The music is programmatically illustrating through that flute dyad the out in feeling of the narrator breathing. So I find it incredibly moving. I think probably a lot of people do. It's an extraordinary sound world, and, you know, in my opinion, one of her finest tracks.
I'm so annoyed you used the word onomatopoeia, because I was going to say that and I chose not to. And then you did it, and I could have looked really smart.
We can both say it. I think that's okay.
Hey, and
agree.
Give us that line about plutonium fragments, because that's extraordinary. It's poetry.
Yeah, it's basically the baby talking for society. We messed it up. So the whole of that verse 2 goes: we've lost our chance. We're the first and last after the blast. Chips of plutonium are twinkling in every lung. It's heartbreaking even so many years later, isn't it, when in a different social context that we live in today.
And another link as well to Pink Floyd, of course, the band that we played at first, that she was discovered or part discovered by David Gilmour as well, who produced a demo tape for sending off to EMI and the likes. So there you go.
Famously so. And actually, she had said that that album was partly influenced by The Wall, by listening to Pink Floyd's The Wall.
Right.
Not sure I can hear it in the production, but that's just because of the Kate Bushness of it. You know, she brings so much originality to everything she does.
Yeah.
But there's certainly a sort of spaciness to it, it's fair to say.
Thanks to everybody guessing, by the way, for tonight's quiz. Going to remind you of the quiz in a moment's time. We'll do the sound alike as well. But 85058 for your guesses if you remember them. But as I say, we will remind you of those in just the second's time. Let's jump into one more track before we do that, Joe, and bring it back up to the 21st century. Goodness me, I haven't heard this for a long, long time. I haven't heard this since, I think, partying out on a midweek night at university. This is Blue Cantrell featuring Sean Paul.
Shut up, Wallen, Blue Cantrell. Remix, I go make them head swell, yo. Yo, ay, yo, boom. Yo, ay, yo. Dirty, so what's that supposed to be about, baby? Get free up your vibe and stop acting crazy. Reminisce on all the good times daily. Why you trying to pose like I be acting shady? What's that supposed to be about, baby? Get free up your vibe and stop acting crazy. Shonda Paul, I give it a good loving daily. Now you trying to pose like I be acting shady.
You say you love me, say you love me, but you never there for me.
Oh, I love that. I haven't heard that. I mean, I don't think I've heard that since 2003. It's a great record.
Isn't it?
Sean Paul, or Sean Paul, as you have to say his name, and Blue Cantrell. Tell us about this one, Joe.
Oh, yeah. Well, to me, because I'm kind of a riffs person, I'm very attracted by the riff, which is, you know,
Yeah,
so I'm kind of loving the riff. And it's just that over and over as the accompaniment. But as with so much sort of, what would you call it, hip-hop or hip-hop adjacent music, you can follow the sample thread, and as we were talking about with the Prodigy there. So, but let's deal with the Breathe lyric before we do that. So it's in this song, it's really about the idea of needing space and clarity in a troubled relationship. The protagonist is sort of seeking emotional distance to reassess their own feelings. It's a sort of a conversation. But back to that sample, let's just listen to a little bit of it and listen out for the brass riff, dum, 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 and the drum pattern in the background. I'll play a little bit of it here.
Shonda Paul and Blue Cantrell, remix, I go make them head swell, yo. Yo, ay, yo, boom, yo, ay, yo, dirty.
So, unsurprisingly, that fantastic brass riff is itself a sample, and they sampled a track by Dre called What's the Difference from 1999, and it sounds like this.
I mean, there's sampling and then just reusing.
Well, yeah, so they use it really as the main backing.
Yeah.
But what's interesting, and again, I love a sample chain, is that Dre did not think of that riff in 99. It is based on this track from 1966 by Charles Aznavour. And I think my French pronunciation, I'll do my best. Parce que tu crois is the name of the track from 1966. Sounds like this.
Oh!
Parce que tu crois que tu es ma faiblesse, tu me blesses.
But if we repitch it using late 90s sampling technology, not only does it go down by a perfect fourth, but it also slows down by almost half. And it sounds like this. So it's tempting to think, well, yeah, they just sampled that and put it in the Dre track, didn't they? And then Blue Cantrell and Sean Paul sampled it later. Not a bit of it. Dre was famous at the time in the 90s that he didn't want to pay the money to the record companies to get the license to use the recording. So he used to hire other musicians to play exactly what was on the record and make his own recording. So if you listen very carefully to the ride cymbal, that ting, 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 ting at the top, this is the Charles Aznavour. And this is the Dre equivalent, and the cymbal sounds different.
Yeah, a lot lighter, isn't it?
It's a different EQ, it's a different sort of vibe, and there's different harmonics in it. And so it's very, very close. And it's the same with a bunch of Dre samples. Eminem's My Name is another one. People think it's a sample, and actually it's a very clever recreation because Dre was trying to get out of get around a record company technicality,
circumvent,
shall we say.
Circumvent. Can any imagine what Charles Aznavour thought of Dr. Dre? I love that. I love sampling and the journey it can take you on. It's just brilliant. Right, should we turn our attention to Sound Alike and to the quiz? Before we get onto this week's Sound Alike, should we have another listen to this week's quiz, and then we can get some new answers, new guesses
Let's do that.
So what have we got to do then? Remind us.
Okay, I'm going to rattle through. You're going to hear some breaths from various songs. I'm going to give you the year. Name the song. So here we go. Number one, rock classic from 1988. Hairy rock classic, as we agree, Johnny. Here it is. For number two, this track came out in 1994, and you'll hear a breath and then a single note. For number three, this is a pop track from 2004. You're going to hear the full pop backing, and you're going to hear the breath in the mix. For number five, this is a very famous artist, not one of their most well-known tracks, but again, the fans will know it. Number four, this track came out in 2017. Listen for the breath. You might get the artist, but I'm looking for the song title. For number five, something of a classic, this, much loved on the radio. This came out in 1974. Seven, and this bit is from the beginning of verse two. For the next one, this is number six, a quartet, shall we say. This track came out in 1974. Name the song. Just before the middle eight, for those who know that song well. And finally, this is a British band from 1982, and this is a lot of breathing here from the breakdown section. So it's pretty straightforward. I've given you the year. Just name the song from the breathing.
Your guests, please, 850-58 for the text for your guesses. Now, we're always after songs that sound similar or may have influenced other recordings as well. If you have any in mind, please let us know. You can text 850-58, as Mike did in Dorset. I'm not sure if Mike's texted you this before, so forgive me if he has. Does the prof agree about Dances with Wolves and the theme written by John Barry sounding like Acker Bilk's Stranger on the Shore? I don't know.
You know, I've heard that mentioned on the show before.
Right, okay.
I went deep. I went really deep. I listened all the way through. I comparatively transcribed them. I put them in the same key. I couldn't find it. So what might be useful is if we could get, like, what's the timestamp from each song where people are hearing
he
that?
Says it's the first opening 10 notes, apparently.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm going to have to go a little deeper. Maybe they're listening to a different version. Yeah. I really want to try and find it because, you know, he's been tenacious. He keeps reminding me of it. And I can't hear it yet, but I want to be, you know, it's a sign of a good academic. You're happy to take on new evidence and be proved wrong.
Was there a remix of Aka Bilk, Stranger on the Shore? I'm not so sure. Right. So this week, you're linking Olivia Newton-John, Miley Cyrus and Doja Cat.
Yes, this is about three notes. So I'm going to play you, well, I'll let the music speak for itself for a moment. This is a track you probably know. So that was Doja Cat featuring SZA and the song Kiss Me More. I think a lot of people might know where I'm going with this just from those three notes.
Yeah.
That, major third and second. And a lot of people were saying on the internet, as my daughter loves to say, they were saying that it sounds a bit like this track from 1981. So let's do that again. Let's A-B them. Here's Doja Cat. Can you kiss me more? We're so young, boy. We ain't got nothing to lose. Oh, it's just principle. Baby, hold me. And here's ONJ. So, as you can hear, it's only those three notes. It's that da-da-da.
Mm.
And it only happens once at the top of the Doja Cat song. And it doesn't repeat in quite the same way. It doesn't go, kiss me more. It doesn't repeat it like Physical does. To me, when I heard that track, I thought it sounded a bit similar to Physical, but not as similar as the song Prisoner by Miley Cyrus featuring Dua Lipa from 2020, which sounds like this. So you've got that da-da-da.
Yeah, it's da-da-da, that repetitive cadence, isn't
across
it?
The beat. Yeah, that's it. And it sort of glides across the beat in a syncopated way. And I thought that was, well, just note for note, it is more similar. Again, I wouldn't say problematically. I think artists should be able to borrow fragments of melody without anyone getting their hair on fire. But as ever, sometimes people worry about this stuff, but sometimes people can't hear it because we all hear music differently, and some people hear the fact that they're in different keys, and that makes them sound more different than they actually are. So here's my real quick mashup. I've just put them kind of tempo synced and key synced, with apologies to Dua Lipa of taking away down the octave. And here they are back to back in the same key.
That's fantastic.
So sadly, there is no ombudsperson in the music industry of what's allowed and what isn't. If there was, then lawyers wouldn't get any work, and maybe musicologists too. But here's the weird thing about that. When the Doja Cat record came out, which, you know, I think you'll agree with me, Johnny, of the two, it sounds less like the Olivia Newton-John song. But I guess somebody in some backroom office panicked or something, because weirdly, Kiss Me More by Doja Cat credits as co-writers Steve Kipner and Terry Shaddick, who you can look up online, and they are the two co-writers of Olivia Newton-John's
Interesting.
Physical.
Right.
So they have a credit. Yeah. They are one of the many writers of the Doja Cat song, but on the Miley Cyrus song, they don't. I've no idea, you know, I wish there were a musical ombudsman of what's allowed, but, and I would volunteer for that gig, of course, but it is a strange outcome. But to me, you know, it's three notes.
Yeah.
It's entirely significant.
I have to say as well, those three notes bring me out in a cold sweat, because I had to dance on stage in primary school in a pair of swimming trunks to Olivia Newton-John's Let's Get Physical. And I still have panic dreams about it. So tonight, you know
what, I'm sorry for traumatising you, Johnny.
You know what I'm going to be dreaming of. Anne in Hebden Bridge has got in touch, by the way. Dr. Joe has just ruined my favourite music fact with an insight about Dr. Dre and Eminem. My name is... it wasn't My Name Is, was it? What was the Dre track? I can't quite remember. I always thought that it was a straight sample from Labby Siffre with Chaz and Dave as the session musicians, making for what could have been the most unlikely collaboration ever, Ant in Hebden Bridge. I think he's getting confused.
It's true. I thought the same thing. And then I looked it up, and I looked at a scan of the original CD liner notes, and it says this track contains a replayed sample of the Labby Siffre song. It's the weirdest thing, but it's really, really accurate. So I understand why Anne would think that.
Yeah.
It's super well recorded.
Well, there we go. Right, time to get the answers to the quiz. Should we do this then, Joe?
Let's do it. Okay, so for the quiz, there were seven questions. I gave you the year. The goal was to name the song. And we're not taking any more answers now, I don't think, Johnny.
No, but I'll name check some people as we go.
Here we go. So, question one, this is what we heard. And the song was Every Rose Has Its Thorn by Poison.
Yes.
Every rose has its thorn.
Andrew, well done to you. This is one of my favourite songs. Scott in Nottingham, that's one of my favourite songs. P.S. Thanks for the recommendation of Hamish Hawke. Loved him, saw him a few months ago. Chris as well, well done to you. Who else we got here? Kim, correct on that one. Rick as well on that one, well done. Loads of people getting that one right.
Oh, good, good. Okay, I was worried it was a bit short, so I'm pleased about that. So for number two, I think there's a lot of love for this artist and this reverbed strat we hear on this one note. And the artist was the much-missed Jeff Buckley and the song Hallelujah, his cover version.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Number three, we had this sample of The Breathing. And the band was Destiny's Child, and the song Lose My Breath.
Yeah, of course it's that. I thought it was a Missy Elliott track. I thought it was a Missy Elliott track. I knew it was
era,
a female R&B artist, but that's annoying.
I think this one's quite tricky, even though it's one of the most famous pieces in the world. I think a lot of people would got number four was Taylor Swift. And the song was from 2017. It was entitled Dress. And for the next one, for number five, you were imagining, I'm sure, running down the avenue. The band was ELO. The track was Mr. Blue Sky.
Mr. Blue Sky, please tell us why
you had to hide away for so long. Why did we go wrong?
For number six, that quartet were, of course, ABBA, and it's a well-known fact on this show that I have a pro-ABBA bias that I bring. this is number six. The song was Honey, Honey, 1974.
Honey, honey, touch me, baby. Didn't get that one.
That was tricky, I
thought there was a kind of Fleetwood Mac vibe about when you were playing the lute. I knew it wasn't Fleetwood Mac, but it did not sound like ABBA to me.
Yeah, that strummed acoustic guitar, I think I can understand that. So that breakdown section for number seven, the final one from 1982, again, I think a lot of the production might have given it away, at least the band. The band, of course, was Duran Duran, and the song was Hungry Like the Wolf. So, possible seven. How did people do, Johnny?
Loads. Ashley got a solid 4 out of 7. Chris only got 2 on that one. A couple of people just getting a singular ones there as well. Dave in Leighton Buzzard. Mark as well. Chaz in Paul. No, you were incorrect with any of your guesses. Scott, well done to you on a couple. Not bad. It was a tough one tonight, I think it's fair to say.
It was tough. I put a few tricky ones in there.
Yeah. Well, listen, it's always a pleasure to be with you. Dr. Joe Bennett of Berkeley in Boston. Thank you so much. Really, really lovely to talk to you tonight. Thank you as ever.
And you, Johnny.
Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your day, Joe, won't you? Whatever you're doing.
That was as ever.
Joe there with us on the programme. So that's it from us. Thank you so much for your time and for being with us this evening. We'll hand you over to the Night Watchman. It is, of course, Dotton Adebayo. It's all yours, Dotton.
Johnny, thank you very much. So for the Welford Wolf phone-in this morning, we're talking about Sabutio because it put the town of Tunbridge Wells in Kent on the footballing map, and we are building up a footballing map of the UK tonight. What is the thing from your town that puts it on the map?
The voice of the UK.
And the home of the Premier League.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
BBC News at 1 o'clock. This is Charlotte Simpson. Lebanese health officials say Israeli airstrikes against Hezbollah have killed nearly 500 people, including 35 children. It's the deadliest day of conflict across the border in nearly two decades. Thousands of civilians in southern Lebanon have been fleeing the bombardments. 80,000 phone calls were made by the Israeli military warning people to leave Hezbollah strongholds, backed up by a video appeal from the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
I have a message for the people of Lebanon. Israel's war is not with you. It's with Hezbollah. For too long, Hezbollah has been using you as human shields. It placed rockets in your living rooms and missiles in your garage. Those rockets and missiles are aimed directly at our cities, directly at our citizens. To defend our people against Hezbollah strikes, we must take out those weapons.
Harrods says it's investigating whether any current members of staff were involved in any of the allegations against the store's former owner, Mohammed Al-Fayed. One former employee has told BBC News a manager who they say still works at the store failed to investigate her complaint about Mr. Fayed's behaviour. Harrods says there is an ongoing internal review. In his first speech at a Labour conference since becoming Prime Minister, Sir Keir Starmer will warn of a shared struggle ahead, but will say there is light at the end of the tunnel for the country. He'll say tough decisions are needed to be taken to build a new Britain. Yesterday, the Chancellor struck a similarly more optimistic tone, promising that there would be no return to austerity. Our economics editor, Faisal Islam, says he thinks this more upbeat message will filter through into policy changes.
Particularly in the area of long-term spending on investment on buildings and railways and roads, which is currently constrained by the government's self-imposed borrowing rules. Clear hints today that they're going to look at those to perhaps in some way exempt that spending so that they can spend more.
Heavy rain and flash flooding has caused widespread travel disruption and damage to properties in parts of England and Wales. Roads and houses flooded in central and southern England after a month's worth of rainfall in a matter of hours.